to a very dear church. Let's begin looking at Paul's letter. In verse 1, he says, "Greetings, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus." You can read on your own sometimes in Exodus 21, but, you know, a bondservant, we know about that. It's a guy that's filled up, completed his servitude, and he chooses to go back because he loves that master and serve him freely and stay with him even though he's free to go. And that's sort of a message for us. You know, we're bondservants here today. Jesus has set us free. We're free to do whatever we want. We're not bound. But God is calling us to be bondservants, to choose because we love our master so much, to want to serve him. And that's where he gets off. That's what ticks his heart, is to see us choose to serve him. Not because we have to, but because we get to. And he writes on to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. It's important for us to understand the word saint. It means a holy one. It means a set apart person. It's all it means. And over and over in the New Testament, Paul writes to the church and calling them saints, not just Paul but others, but to the beloved in Rome called saints. And to the church of God at Corinth, those who have been set apart in Christ, called saints. To the church of Corinth, those that are locked up, the many saints locked up in prison, Paul writes in Luke writes in Acts 26. Romans 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Every place the word is used in the New Testament, it speaks in the plural, and it speaks of all of those that have received Christ. Because you've been set apart. You've been made holy. You're holy vessels to God if the Holy Spirit lives in you. And so you are a saint of God this morning. And he writes on to the bishops and the deacons. And I just want to touch on that real quickly before I take too much time. But there's a little bit of confusion. You say bishop this guy and, you know, an elder that guy and pastor that guy and all those kind of things. And sort of we get hung up in titles. They're really interchangeable words. I'm going to share those with you real quickly. Episcopos is the word bishop. It describes the ministry, what that ministry is. And it means overseeing, simply that. A bishop is someone that oversees the body of Christ, helped in overseeing the body of Christ. A presbyteros is a word for elder. It describes the person. It's a man of maturity, mature in the word of God. That's what an elder is, a presbyteros. An appointment is a pastor, the word for pastor, and it describes the method. So you've got the ministry, what it does, what the person is, and then the method, the pastor, one who feeds and cares for the flock. That was very clear what Jesus told to Peter, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, tend my sheep. And so they're all interchangeable words. And anyway, I wanted to read from Hebrews 13:17. You don't have to turn there. Just real quickly. I wouldn't. If I had got it this morning, the Lord just spoke it to my heart. And I think this speaks of Paul. And comparatively to other churches he wrote to, this one really brought him joy. It really brought him joy. It says this in Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. When I go to jail and I'm thinking about you guys, don't you want me to just be full of joy when I think of you guys? And likewise, when you think of me, think of joy. Oh, you know, he didn't beat us. He didn't beat us, you know, or whatever. He didn't fleece us either, you know, whatever. But Paul had this sincere joy when he thought of this church at Philippi. There was just a wonderful order that God had established. He talks about it in the church over and over, and yet everyone is so important, as we shared in the announcements. You know, taking care of those kids, that's important part of the body of Christ. And so he was joyful when he thought of the church at Philippi. Obviously, they were clicking, man. They weren't striving and fighting and having all this kind of stuff. And so it goes on and it says, grace and peace to you guys. You know, let this, a beautiful flow of the peace of God from our Father and Lord Jesus. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was so thankful for this, guys. They were in his thoughts, in his prayers continually. He just was reminded about how amazing God is. You know, and I come on Sunday mornings, one of the things that really stokes me is, and I walk in that back door there, and if you see on that window that got put in back there in that new section, I did a little dedication to how miraculously God put a calling on my life and started this church here. And then I come in and I see you guys, it's just such a joy. It reminds me of how miraculous God is. And I'm sure Paul was going, wow, this group of people, this, you know, every time I think about him, I think about how God started this church with a Jewish, you know, a woman and, you know, a demon-possessed slave, and these guys, I was thrown in prison. God saved everybody in the prison that was watching me. Oh, and these people, they all come together with different backgrounds and different citizenships and cultures, and they've come together and they love one another. They have this sweet koinonia, he goes on to talk about, that your fellowship and the gospel, you're sort of single-minded, and you're all coming together, and it's working because you all have one, you're like-minded and you have a single mind. It's not about all the other stuff. The engine's running because you're all wanting to go the same direction, as Paul's telling them. And he's so confident in them. And he knows that God started the work there, and he will be faithful to complete that work in them right up until the day Jesus takes them home or comes and raptures them. And Paul definitely believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, as we should. And this word is for us today, too, that if God saved, if you're saved today, it was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. Supernatural event that shook the heaven itself and every spiritual being in it when you personally got saved. And God says he will be faithful to complete that. If he miraculously, supernaturally saved you, because with man it's impossible, but with God it's possible. That's the definition of a miracle, isn't it? You're a miracle of God. And because you're a miracle and he supernaturally intervened and saved you and chose you and poured his love on you, he will be faithful to complete that work he started. Right up until the day we die or the day Jesus says, come on up. And we're going to be looking for him to say that. Believe it or not, guys. And we'll see that as we continue in here.